Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Denise Griffiths. I am your partner in success. I am an online entrepreneur. I'm a virtual assistance industry expert. I'm a web developer, and I love what I do. Part of what I do is I get to partner up with people who are just the best in the industry. And today you're going to meet one of those people that I do a lot of work with for clients. And he's fabulous. I can't even tell you how fabulous he is. So today, I'm not going to even really go through the whole little introduction that I normally do because we have so much to talk about. I'm really excited today because Ben Cope is joining me again. He was here with us about 2 weeks ago. And we had so much information about WordPress that we literally could not cover it all. And then in the interim, I've had a couple of teleseminars where WordPress came up again. It's clearly a very important subject. It's something that people want to know about. They can find some information on the internet, but they really need somebody to explain it to them clearly, cogently, and patiently. And, you know, somebody who understands WordPress, loves working in it, who is passionate about it, and is here to share his expertise with you. So Ben is that person. Ben is the internet genius. He is somebody that I know well. I work on a lot of projects with. And as you've already heard, I have a tremendous admiration for his work ethic is unparalleled. He's not called the internet genius for nothing. Ben is a dot-compreneur. He is a web designer. He's an internet marketing consultant. He specializes in high-end custom websites, including WordPress blogs. So as I mentioned, Ben and I work together on many high-end projects. He's the best. He's very, very internet marketing savvy. He's a great, great graphic designer. And I love working with him. So, Ben, have I embarrassed you sufficiently? Are you blushing?
Okay. A little bit.
Okay, good, good. Listen, thank you so much. I know you're as busy as I am, and we're all crazy busy these days, but I'm so glad you could join me today. We have a lot of people. I see them. The switchboard is kind of lighting up. People have a lot of questions about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just kind of jump into it.
Okay.
I know in an earlier interview we covered, you know, how you became to known as the internet genius. But for those people who have not heard the show before or who might have missed last or 2 weeks ago, could you just kind of cover that again and tell people how you came to be known as the internet genius?
Yeah, absolutely. Internet genius is actually a title that came from one of my clients, Jill Koenig, who gave me the name when I helped her set up her website. And I've literally worked on hundreds of other websites over the past 10 years, and so many people have, made their websites more powerful, more profitable, and so now whenever somebody recommends me to somebody else to do a website or to work on a WordPress site, they say, oh, you need to call the Internet Genius. Oh, you need to, you know, get in touch with the Internet Genius, ask the Internet Genius. So it's kind of just stuck around with me, and I don't claim to know everything there is to know. That's not at all what I mean by genius. To me, genius is about passion and persistence, and it's about doing what you love. And I think everybody has an inner genius, and everybody can be good at something. And what I happen to be good at, what I'm passionate about, is helping people to put up a website and make it more powerful and more profitable and really understand how to make the web work for them. And so that's where my title comes from. I am married to a beautiful woman. Angel is her name, and I have two beautiful girls, Emily and Anna, and I love doing what I do, which is working with WordPress and building websites.
And it gives you time at home with your family too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it in the world.
Yeah, for those of us who have, and I won't call it the luxury, we have worked very hard to get where we are, but for those of us who have created a lifestyle that allows us to work in our own homes, there's nothing better. If you like to be at home and if you like to be your own boss, this is the life, I'm telling you. So let's get back to WordPress. WordPress
Okay.
is very important in my business, no question about it. So start out telling, what is WordPress? I mean, there's a lot of explanations on the internet that unless you have worked in it a long time, as we have, we'll understand them, but to the layman, they're really not written for lay people, I don't think. So can you put
Right.
it in general terms and let people know
Sure.
exactly what WordPress is and just how powerful it is?
Okay. WordPress is nothing more than a tool. WordPress is a tool that helps you create and publish content online. Everything that exists on the internet has a home. It lives on a web server somewhere, so that when you type in a web address, a domain name, it knows where to find that content. Well, WordPress is simply a tool that allows people to publish content on their website. And it is the most popular blogging software that's out there right now. A blog is nothing more than kind of an online journal or a place where people can share their thoughts, feelings, emotions, whatever. They can publish content about a specific topic, whether it's personal or whether it's related to their business or industry or whatever they're in. But WordPress is simply a publishing tool for people to put their content online and make it available to the world to see.
See, and that's the perfect explanation. So why would people use WordPress as, let's just talk about blogging rather than the whole WordPress platform, website, blog combination. That's probably another conversation. So let's just keep it to blogs today.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I just got back from the dentist. I'm still recovering. So why would somebody choose WordPress as opposed to, say, Blogger, which is, of course, owned by Google? What are the primary differences that you can discern?
There are actually two different versions of WordPress, which we'll get into in just a moment. Blogger is a blogging tool, and it is owned by Google. But when you create a blog with Blogger, the content on that website is actually stored on Google servers. And Blogger, though it's a great publishing tool for traditional blogs, it doesn't give you the same options that WordPress gives you, and it's not nearly as flexible in terms of what you can do and what type of plugins are available, and it doesn't really give you complete control over everything that you may want to do on your website.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned there were two versions of WordPress, so let's talk a little bit about what the different options are when it comes to WordPress.
Right, because WordPress.com leads right into Blogger, so they're essentially the same thing.
Right, WordPress.com is the hosted version of WordPress. That means when you set up and publish a blog through WordPress.com, your content is stored on their servers, WordPress.com servers. In fact, when you sign up for a WordPress account at WordPress.com, you have to actually click the I agree button to this long, long list of terms and conditions. And that's the biggest drawback of WordPress.com and Blogger, for that matter, is that because you don't actually host the content on your own server, you really don't have full and complete control over everything that goes on your site. That isn't to say that you can't write about what you want to write about, that you can't, they limit what you can talk about or when you can publish, that kind of thing. But it does mean that you have less control over plugins and themes that you want to use for your site, and you have a lot of binding things that you can't do with a WordPress.com account. Now,
me interrupt here and just tell you what happened with me, because Ben is making a really good point here. I started out some years ago, and I built up a really good following on WordPress.com for a blog that I had, and it had a lot of people commenting on it. I had probably 240 posts, I think, and I did not read the 450 pages of fine print. I'm sure it's 9 pages, but it seemed like it, and I didn't read it. It's written for lawyers, and we really can't read them. So, I just said, yeah, okay, I agree, and not realizing that you could not put affiliate links on there. And I have to tell you, out of 240-some-odd posts, I probably linked away to an affiliate, that I was operating, maybe GoDaddy or maybe One Shopping Cart, possibly 3 times. It was not something that I did a lot of, but apparently somebody read my blog a lot, decided that I was, doing some bad things, by putting 3 affiliate links in 242 posts over a period of time, reported my blog, and my blog was taken away. And I could not recover it, and they would not even return phone calls. So several years' worth of work just went down the drain.
Right.
So be very, very cautious if you're going to, you know, try to build up a following, try to build up your name and your brand and your reputation online using WordPress.com or even Blogger. I don't suggest that you do it, not for business purposes at all. Okay, Ben, I had to tell my story, so back to you.
For people that already have a site, a blog set up on Blogger or WordPress.com for that matter, it's very simple to export and move that content over to a self-hosted WordPress site. And what I mean by self-hosted, that means that you're running WordPress on your own web server. You've got a hosting account set up either through HostGator or GoDaddy or 1&1, wherever you choose to host, and you control 100% of the content. So if you already have a WordPress.com account or a Blogger account and you want to move everything over, it's very easy to do through the WordPress dashboard once you install WordPress on the new hosting account. But let me take a moment to give you an analogy of the difference between WordPress.com, the hosted version of WordPress, and WordPress.org, which is a self-hosted. It's the version of WordPress that you're running on your own web server. To me, the best analogy, it's kind of like the difference between renting an apartment where you have all of these binding stipulations. You can't have pets unless you're willing to pay a $300 deposit, and you can't plant a flower bed outside your window because that's against the terms and conditions that you agree to. You can't really paint the walls without getting it approved, and there's all these limitations that you have when you're renting an apartment. Compare that to owning your own house on 1,000 acres of land. If you wake up one morning and decide to plow a garden, it's not like you have to go out and ask somebody for permission. If you've got the land and the space and the tools and equipment to do it, you can pretty much go out there and do it. Or you can hire somebody to come in and do it. But at the end of the day, you don't have to ask anybody for permission. There's no risk of you getting evicted or kicked out for some crazy little rule that you really didn't know about when you signed the contract. So you really have a lot more control and flexibility, and you can do a lot more when you own your WordPress site and it's hosted on your own server. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the plugins that you can add to your WordPress blog that will give you that type of control that we're talking about and really help you take your blog to the next level and give it all the bells and whistles that you may not be able to add with a WordPress.com account.
Right. That's a perfect analogy, and thank you for sharing that. One of the questions that I got the other night, we talked about this earlier, I've been hosting a series of teleseminars called Ask Denise Griffith Your Virtual Assistant's Industry Questions, and invariably WordPress comes up. And I'm understanding from chatting with some of these people that they don't really understand or didn't know that you can have a website and have a blog at the same time on the same domain. So can you address that? Because, you know, I saw some light bulb moments. I actually heard an aha. This one lady didn't know you could do it. So can you explain that? Because that's such an important part of having, you don't have to go have a separate domain. You can put it all in one spot.
Right. With a self-hosted WordPress blog, you can install WordPress on your own domain name, which is another benefit to using a self-hosted version. Although it is possible to do that with a WordPress.com account, you really have greater control if you're hosting it yourself. You can install WordPress on your own domain name and set up a website that looks like a static HTML website, that when you pull up that website, you wouldn't necessarily know that there's a blog behind it or that it may even be running WordPress at all. What I mean by that is WordPress has two different types of content that can be published on a website or a blog. They're called posts and pages. Posts are what you would traditionally think of when you think of a blog. Those are the articles that you publish. Those are the daily content or the weekly content where you're putting out content on a regular basis. Then you have pages, which are more for the static content on your site. For example, you may have a page that is called About Me, where you have a paragraph or a couple of paragraphs about you or about your company. You may have another page where you post photos. You could have another page where you list all of the products or services that you offer. You could have another page with a contact form that people can fill out. These are the types of content that most people think of when they think of a traditional website, a regular, plain, old HTML website. But all of this content can be created using WordPress pages. And there's even a setting that WordPress allows you to make so that you can choose any of the pages that you've published to be a static HTML page. So every time somebody pulls up the home page of your site, they see exactly what you want them to see, whatever you've defined to be the static home page of your site. Mm-hmm. And then on the back end, you can have a separate page. You could call it blog. You could call it articles. You can call it whatever you want, but it would be a blog page that allows you to publish your articles, your blog posts, and it would function more like a traditional blog, mm-hmm. where the most recent content appears at the top, and then the older content drops down every time you add new stuff.
Right. Now, how about if somebody already has a website? Yeah, their mm-hmm. website is already up there. It may be a brochure site, 4 or 5 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to have a blog attached to this. So mm-hmm. explain how that would work out. The HTML site is already built. They just want to add a blog to it.
Right. WordPress can be installed in a subdirectory of a domain name. So if you already have a website at xyzcompany.com and you're looking to add a blog to that, there are two options. You could simply move all of the existing content over into a WordPress site so that the entire site is running on WordPress, where you simply copy and paste and move over the images and the text and everything you have already on your existing static HTML site. Or you can install WordPress in a subdirectory of your website. So instead of accessing your blog by going to xyzcompany.com, for example, you would access it by going to xyzcompany.com/blog. That everything after that /, that's the subdirectory. That's simply a folder on your existing website where you can install WordPress and manage all of your blog content.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you simply create a link from your home page, your existing HTML site, to that blog page, and then you've linked the two together.
And I think that was what the questions were that were popping up. People say, well, I didn't know I could do both. You absolutely can do both. So let's talk about permalinks, because we're going to circle around back to why you should do that. But what are permalinks, mm-hmm. and why are they so very important?
A permalink is nothing more than a pretty web address. When you install WordPress for the first time on a brand new site, whenever you click on an article or a page, the web address, it will always have your root domain name, the xyzcompany.com. But by default, your pages and your articles, instead of being identified with the title of the page or the title of the article, it identifies it using a question mark and P equals and then a number. So it's not a very pretty, it doesn't look pretty in the address bar of your site, and it doesn't really tell you what that specific page is about in the address bar. A permalink is simply a way to, it takes a regular default link from WordPress, like xyzcompany.com/?P=123, and turns it into xyzcompany.com/about. It's self-explanatory. When somebody sees that web address, it makes it easier to link to. And when you do link to it, it's more identifiable what you're linking to. And on top of that, it also is a great way to include keywords and optimize your blog for the search engines.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Right after you finish that thought, let's talk about why people need to pay attention to their blog titles.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Right. I was going to say P=123 doesn't really mean a lot to Google. It's simply a number that identifies what blog number, what post number that is in your mm-hmm. site. But when you include keywords in the page title or the post title, it links that particular URL with the content on your page. And when you do a Google search, instead of the URL being listed as xyzcompany.com/P=123, the actual URL will be displayed as whatever the blog title is, if you have permalinks turned on. So it makes your content easier to identify to the search engines and easier for people to read when they're looking at the URL.
And that makes perfect sense. I have a question in the chat room. I need to answer it because this lady needs to head out very quickly. Her question is, can you put a shopping cart on WordPress?
Yes, absolutely can put a shopping cart on WordPress. There are a number of options to do that. There are a couple of shopping cart plugins for WordPress. One of them in particular is called WP eCommerce, and you can find that by simply doing a Google search. The other option is to get a third-party shopping cart, like One Shopping Cart or any of the others that are available, and then simply copy and paste the HTML code for your order buttons or your add to cart buttons, and they tie in perfectly with WordPress.
Right.
Virtually anything that can be placed on a regular static website can also be tied in, integrated with WordPress, including a shopping cart.
Right. Now, I know how the shopping cart works, but explain how the plugin that you referenced, what would they have to do to make that merchant-friendly? I mean, you can't just put in a shopping cart and say, well, you know, I'm ready to go. You have to have PayPal or you have to have, you know,
right.
credit cards.
Most shopping carts, whenever you set up any shopping cart, you usually have two options. You can run all of your payments through PayPal, which is by far the most widely used form of payment online, or you can accept credit cards through a merchant account, which you would have to set that up on your own through your particular bank. And then depending on the shopping cart that you use, you have to link your merchant account with your shopping cart, and you plug in some long string of numbers and letters that ties it and makes it secure and accessible. And then, of course, you do a test, make sure the orders are working and they go through. But by far the fastest and the easiest way to set up any shopping cart is to simply run payments through PayPal.
Right.
But having said that, I realize a lot of people either love PayPal or they hate it. And PayPal really has a bad reputation online because of all of the fraud and scams and things out there with PayPal. The best thing that you can do is to simply educate yourself on online security in general. You need to be aware of, you know, when a link is genuinely from PayPal and when it's not, to protect yourself against online fraud and even online identity theft.
I'll tell you how I do that. When I get these emails, will pop up in my mailbox and say, "Well, you have a payment." Unless I know who that person is, I won't click in the email. But if it says you have a payment and I don't really recognize that person, I will delete the email. Then I will go log into my PayPal account separately, never from the email.
Right.
So be really, really careful with PayPal. Most of them are. They're spam. They're junk.
Their bank wouldn't allow them to have both a PayPal and a merchant account.
Oh.
That's really strange to me. I would either shop for another bank or look for a different shopping cart solution, because I don't have a merchant account to accept credit cards. I do most everything through PayPal. But I've got plenty of clients that accept both PayPal payments and regular credit card payments through their merchant accounts. So, you know, if you've got the problem where you can't have PayPal and a merchant account, then I would recommend looking for a different shopping cart solution or shop for a different merchant account that will allow you to have both.
And the PayPal fees are not bad compared to some of the merchant accounts. I mean, I finally gave up my merchant account because it was costing me so much more.
Right.
And here's
they're
the
really
thing with PayPal. Go ahead. We always have so much to talk about.
When it comes to PayPal and merchant accounts, and is it worth the money and the investment to pay that merchant setup fee and to pay the monthly account fee and to pay the per transaction fees to have a merchant account? The reasons for being able to accept credit cards and not run them through PayPal, the number one reason that people have for that is because they want to look professional. They want to be able to process credit cards through their own company. They don't want to make it look like they're running through a third party. And in some people's minds, it makes them look cheap or unprofessional or whatever. I differ with that. I think PayPal does allow you to customize your payment pages so that they do tie into your website nicely, and it looks every bit as professional as a merchant account.
Ben, send people to your payment page because yours is very, very professional. Can you give a link to that? Do you mind?
Yeah, sure. I'm typing it in now.
Yours is one of the best I've seen.
Right. So I've simply got a page on my website that I, whenever I send out an invoice, I send them to this page, and it's easy for people to submit the payment. What I was going to say, if you were trying to decide, do I need to get my own merchant account or can I simply go through PayPal, and which one is going to be more cost effective, a lot of that depends on your monthly sales volume and the price point of the products that you're selling. If your products are extremely high priced, i.e. they're, you know, over $100 or more per product, or even into the thousands, then definitely, by all means, it may make more sense for you to have your own merchant account. Mm-hmm. But if your items are lower priced, under $100, you know, $15, $20 ebooks, and your monthly sales volume is under $1,000, then it's going to be much more cost effective to process those payments through PayPal. Because
yeah.
any merchant account has all kinds of add-on fees, and some of them have monthly fees, and it really, you're going to spend more money to have that merchant account if you've got lower sales volume and your products are priced, you know, at a low price point.
Right.
So it really all depends on your volume.
Right. One thing about PayPal as well, once you can prove to them, I think it's 2 or 3 months, once you have run $3,000 or better through your PayPal account, they lower your rate.
Right.
They will work with you. They want
you. One thing I was going to say also about a PayPal, just a side tip here, I've got a PayPal MasterCard. It's not actually a credit card. I can't go out there and just charge things up to it and pay it off like a credit card. It functions more like a debit card. So just like I have a regular bank card with my bank that I go and make purchases with and it's automatically deducted from my bank account, my PayPal MasterCard functions the exact same way. It really is like an online bank. As soon as I get a payment, I've got those funds available, and I can use my MasterCard to make purchases. The benefit of using my PayPal MasterCard is that I actually earn 1% of every purchase back to my account. PayPal charges me 2.9% per transaction. So if somebody makes a $100 payment to me, then my net amount that I actually get is around $97 and some change, maybe $96 and change. But when I make a purchase with my PayPal MasterCard, I actually earn 1% of that back. So a $100 purchase, I'll earn $1 back credited to my account. So
right.
It's a way that I'm able to lower my fee from 2.9% to 1.9%, and that's every bit as competitive with any of the merchant accounts that are available out there.
Yeah, I agree. And all of this can be done in your WordPress account. We have a lady in the chat room
mm-hmm.
who wants to know, how do you turn the permalinks on? I know it's a
plugin. There is a setting in WordPress, in the WordPress dashboard, and the dashboard is going to look different depending upon which version of WordPress that you're running. But when you log in to the WordPress dashboard, if you're running the latest version of WordPress, you want to look in the left-hand column of the dashboard where all of those links are for your site. There is a settings section. If you click on settings, then you'll see a link under there that says permalinks. And when you click on permalinks, you'll get the option to select from any number of radio buttons to customize the permalink structure. And the permalink structure that I recommend is a custom permalink structure. And what you want to do from the dashboard, you click settings and then permalinks. And then you want to select the radio button next to the custom permalink structure. And in the box, you put a forward slash, percent, the percent sign, post name, percent sign, forward slash. And I'll make this available in a Word document or a PDF that people can download to explain how to do this. All that does, it means that the default link for any page or blog post that you make on your website is going to be exactly the same thing as the page title or the blog post title. So if you create a blog post called How to Set Up Permalinks and you publish it to your site, then the URL for that when you have permalinks enabled would be bencope.com/ How to Set Up Permalinks. The actual blog post, the title, would become the actual URL in the link.
Can you type that in the chat room for some people?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So custom, it's / %, post name, %, /.
Got it. I see it in there.
Right.
Thank you. That's very helpful for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've covered permalinks. Really, my biggest question for you, and there's a lot of WordPress plugins that I'm in love with, but I know there you've got a list of the top five essential, mandatory WordPress plugins that should be installed on your blog. Can we cover those? Because they're critical.
Sure. Yep. The number one plugin that I would recommend for anybody who's running a site in WordPress to install is the all-in-one SEO pack. This is a plugin that will help you tremendously with the search engines, and anybody who knows what they're doing with their WordPress blog is going to have this plugin installed. It is by far the most popular plugin for optimizing your WordPress website for the search engines. And what it allows you to do is to customize your title tags and descriptive URLs for your blog posts and your pages. And if that sounds like Greek to you, then just take my word for it. It will help you tremendously in your search engine placement by having those keywords and title tags inserted properly whenever you publish new content. Even though WordPress is optimized for the search engines, there's really no easy way to add metadata to your posts and your pages. Metadata is the content on your website that is only visible to the search engines for the most part. It's things like keywords for a specific page or a post, title tags, the title tag that appears in your browser window, and the all-in-one SEO pack makes it very easy to customize individual title, description, and keywords for every single page or post on your website. And it should absolutely be the first plugin that you install on a new WordPress site.
Okay, where would I get this a lot? How do people write their site description? How do they determine what their meta tag should be?
Your site description should really be limited to no more than about 140 characters. The reason for that is because when you do a Google search, you go to Google and you type in a search key phrase, what you see on the results page, you'll see a perfect example of the description meta tag in action. What shows up under the page title is that short description. And it actually gets cut off at about 140 characters, so anything past that is just going to get cut off. It's not going to be visible. So you want to keep it to about 140 characters. But your description is nothing more than, you know, your description for your entire site should simply be the elevator statement about you, about your company, your product, your service. It's what you would tell somebody in an elevator in, you know, one sentence, who you are, what you do, and what your benefits are. It's important to include your keywords in the description of your site. In other words, if you're a lawn service company, then your description needs to include keywords like lawn, grass, things like that. You know, don't just include a phone number and, you know, your local city or whatever. You know,
right.
Include the other keywords that are related to your site.
Yeah, you have to let people know what it is that you do and why they would want to pick up the phone and call you.
Right.
Okay, and what are the next ones?
The next plugin is actually another one related to search engine optimization, and it's the Google XML Sitemaps plugin. And this is another one that will help you with search engine visibility. What it does is it helps Google keep tabs on your valuable content. And it creates an XML file, which is nothing. XML simply stands for Extensible Markup Language. It's simply a file format that the search engine spiders can read. And whenever you publish a new post or a page on your website, when you have this plugin installed, it will automatically update your XML file and give the search engines a single place to look for your new content. And what you can do is, once you've created this XML sitemap, you can submit your sitemap to any of the major search engines' registration tools. You can go to google.com/webmasters/tools. This is the Google Webmaster Tools. I'm going to post that link in the in the chat room here.
Okay.
This is a place where you can register your sitemap with Google so that whenever you add new content, the search engines know where to come to find it. And you might ask, well, can't the search engines find my content automatically? Well, yes, they can, but by having an XML sitemap, it lets them find it a lot faster, and it also lets you let them find all of the content on your site as opposed to simply one post or one page. Because the search engine spiders work by reading one link and then another link, and they follow a link from one website to another website. So if you create a new blog post and another website or blog links to it, that link then is followed by the search engine spiders, and that is how your new content is discovered, all by itself on its own without doing anything. But by having this XML sitemap plugin installed, it lets Google know about all of the content that's on your site all the time. So it's a one-stop place for the search engines to know what content is available on your site.
Now, what about pages that are no follow, no index? Because you may not want everything followed.
Absolutely. There may be some content that you don't want to be indexed by the search engines. What I mean by that is there may be content on your website that you don't want to appear in the Google search results. Let's suppose that you have a download for a digital product, and you only want people to be taken to this page after they've made a successful payment for the product. Well, you don't want that page to show up in the search results that, so that people could accidentally stumble upon it. What you can do is set up that page to be no index, no follow. So that tells the search engines to ignore that content altogether as if it doesn't even exist. Don't index it. Don't put it in your catalog of websites, and don't associate it with any specific keywords or descriptions or anything like that. There's a plugin for WordPress called Robots Meta that will allow you to simply put a checkbox next to whether you want the content to be indexed or you want to turn that indexing off. And the real word for that is no index, no follow. No index means don't include this page in the catalog of search results. No follow means don't follow any of the links that are on this page. Don't follow them. Don't let the search engine spiders follow a link to any other website from this page. So that's what the no index and no follow means.
And I know this is going to pop up, so can you just tell people how to do that? I can hear it now, somebody saying, well, how do you do it? How do you do it in the dashboard?
How do you do what? Install the plugin or set up a page to be no follow, no index?
Set up the plugin. We'll just assume that somebody has that page and they just don't know how not to index it.
Right. In order to select the option.
Now, this is in WordPress. Now, this is not in a static website. I don't want to confuse anybody.
Correct. Right.
So
this requires
your
website to be running in WordPress.
Right.
You need to be logged into your WordPress dashboard. You need to have installed and activated the plugin. Then once you have the plugin activated, the Robots Meta plugin, whenever you're writing a page or a post, if you scroll down below the post editor where you actually type in the contents of that page or the post, you will look for an option called Robots Meta, and you'll look for the little checkbox that you can select to make the page no index, no follow. And then you simply update the page or you publish the page if it's a new post, and you're good to go. It automatically adds the appropriate meta tags on that individual page or post so that it won't be indexed by the search engines.
Okay. That's perfect. Thank you. Okay, so what is the next essential WordPress plugin?
The next absolutely essential WordPress plugin is called Akismet. And that's Akismet. This is absolutely essential to have activated on your website. It's basically a spam filter. And if you've had a WordPress website for longer than a few weeks, you've probably, without this plugin activated, noticed that you're getting a lot of spam comments, links to Viagra and pornographic links and that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're fairly nasty.
The Akismet spam filter will automatically catch these comments and just discard of them without you really ever having to do anything once the plugin is activated. It automatically detects the inappropriate links and content, and it flags it as spam. So not only will it not automatically appear on your blog, but it's also going to keep it from coming to your inbox saying, hey, you've got a new comment. And then you go to check the comment, and it's actually a spam comment. And it's really a time waster if you have to manually go in and delete all of these spam comments every time they come. Because without this, I've got a couple of websites where when I initially set them up, I didn't activate the Akismet spam filter. And literally within a few days, I started getting not one, not two, but dozens of comments a day on these blogs. And then the easy solution, log into that blog, activate the Akismet spam filter, and I never have to worry about it again. It does require you to enter what's called an API key. It's simply a license that allows you to use that plugin. The API key is free. Anybody can sign up for their own personal license to use the Akismet spam filter. You do sign up for the API key through WordPress.com, and there is a, if you just do a Google search for WordPress API key, you will find a plethora of articles that explain how to get your own API key and where you have to enter that key into your dashboard to activate this plugin.
Yeah, that one's critical in my book. And that leads me to another question, which is not necessarily part of these five essential plugins, but there's kind of an age-old argument. You mentioned it just really briefly. Do you automatically, and this is asked of me all the time, well, should I just automatically let people comment or should I approve them first?
Mm-hmm.
And my question is 100% of the time, approve them first.
Right.
You don't know what people are going to say, but some people don't like to do that, and you know, I think we could chat about that for a minute.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion, whether you want the comments to automatically appear on your website or not. At the very least, I recommend that new comments be moderated. Absolutely. If somebody leaves a comment on your website and they've never left a comment before, check the option that says notify me of any new comments and let me moderate them before they automatically appear. There is an option that allows you to have certain people, if they've already left a comment on your website that's been approved, certain people, you may want to give them the ability to simply leave comments without their comment being moderated. But again, you do have to be very careful about it. You don't want to have somebody comment on your blog and leaving these nasty comments. And of course, you can always go back in and delete them and do whatever. But it's always a good idea to simply moderate your comments. Another reason that's a good idea to have your comments moderated and to check the options so that you're notified whenever new comments are left is that it gives you an opportunity to go in and personally respond to the comment. Send a thank you email to the commenter or leave another comment yourself on the same page or the same blog post replying back to the commenter. And it's the best way that WordPress allows your website to function as a conversation. It's not simply a one-way tool where you're always putting out content. It's one-way, one-directional. When you allow comments, you actually invite discussion. And by leaving comments, by commenting back on somebody, whenever somebody leaves a comment, you enable that conversation to move forward. And in some cases, a lot of more valuable content can be found in the comments even than in the blog post itself. You'll see that on a lot of healthy blogs that have a lot of active comments going on.
Right. That's true. Well, I always say moderate them, but it's really up to the blog owner. You'll find out very quickly what you want to do. You really will. Mm-hmm. So it can be kind of an ongoing experiment, if you will, but I think within 2 or 3 weeks you'll say, oh boy, let me go ahead and moderate. Okay,
yep.
So we have so many people that want to ask questions. I'd kind of like to get through this so we can allow some people on the call because
I really
want to chat with you.
Let's go through the last two plugins really quickly,
okay.
And then we'll open it up for questions.
Okay.
So far we've listed the All-in-One SEO Pack, the Google XML Sitemaps plugin, the Akismet spam plugin. And the fourth plugin that I recommend everybody to have installed on their website is called Sociable. And that is simply a plugin that allows you to add a button at the bottom of all of your pages or your posts that let people submit your content to any of the most popular social networking sites like Facebook, Dig, StumbleUpon. These, by having the Sociable plugin activated, you give people a one-click button to simply share your content with the rest of the world through these social networking sites. And it's a great way to help your blog content spread further and reach more people, reach a wider audience by having that plugin activated, because it makes it very easy for somebody to share your content with other people. In fact, I was just reading a really good article this morning about something, and at the bottom of the post there was a link that would allow me to share this content. So I submitted the page to StumbleUpon, and I actually noticed I was the first one to submit the page to StumbleUpon, and I've got hundreds of followers on StumbleUpon. So now everybody that follows me on StumbleUpon is going to eventually come across this page, all because I was given the opportunity to share it with, you know, everybody that's in my network as something that I found to be valuable, helpful. And that's what the Sociable plugin will allow you to do. It makes it easy for you to share your content and for your readers to share the content with their network of friends for you.
Right. It makes it easy for you to go ahead and use those same buttons. I do it with every one of my posts. I go down to the Sociable plugin, and I post my blog to Facebook. I post it on Delicious.
Right.
I post it on StumbleUpon. I dig it.
Yep.
And, you know, by the time I'm through posting, I post my blog, and then there's five or six more steps.
Right.
All social marketing, social bookmarking, before I'm done. But it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't depend on other people to mark your stuff. Do it yourself.
Right. Yep.
And do it for other people. You know,
exactly.
They will reciprocate.
Yep.
Okay, so what's the fifth one?
The fifth plugin that I recommend as an absolute essential is the WordPress database backup plugin. Anybody who has experience with WordPress can attest to the fact that if you lose a post or content, or your database goes corrupt or something terrible happens to your website, if you don't have a backup, then there's no way to get that back. And although most reputable hosting companies will provide weekly backups of the content on the sites that they host, it's not a foolproof method. And the last thing you want to have happen is something causes your WordPress database to be corrupted, or maybe it got hacked somehow. Something happened to the website, and you've lost all of your content. All of those hours and hours that you spent publishing and researching and writing the content is gone. And the WordPress database backup plugin allows you to specify how frequently you want your backup to be made, and you can even have it automatically emailed to you as a zip file. It could be weekly or it could be daily, and then you can choose to store those backups either on the web server where your website is hosted or on your own computer, which is what I recommend, so that you've got a hard copy database backup if something were to go wrong with your WordPress site. Just a real quick note about WordPress security and making your website hack-proof so that it can't be hacked into. One thing that you do need to do is make sure that you try to stay up to date with the latest version of WordPress. You don't have to go out and install the latest version every time it comes out, because a lot of times they'll update from, you know, version 2.70 to 2.71, and unless there's a big security flaw found in the older version, it's not absolutely essential to do. But do make sure that you keep your plugins and your WordPress version up to date. And the very latest version of WordPress actually has an automatic upgrade feature built into it. So now it's possible to upgrade to the latest version of WordPress by simply clicking a link in your WordPress dashboard that says, yes, upgrade me to the latest version. The only reason I say don't just rush out and upgrade to the latest version every time it comes out, especially if there's a major upgrade that's made, is because certain plugins may not function well with the latest version of WordPress. So always check, especially if you're running dozens of different plugins, before you simply just click the link to upgrade, do a plugin check. Make sure that the plugins you've got currently activated are compatible with the latest version of WordPress. And I can tell you that most all of the most popular plugins, all of the plugins that we've mentioned, the All-in-One SEO Pack, the Google XML Sitemaps, the Sociable plugin, these are probably going to work with every release of WordPress. But there may be some obscure plugin that you're running that's not going to work if you upgrade. So it's kind of smart just to do a check. Is this, you know, plugin going to be compatible if I upgrade my version of WordPress? But just, you know, it
I've
is
actually
important
had that happen.
To stay up to date with
I know plugin. What you're talking about. I did that, and I blew it. I totally killed an entire site. It took me an entire day, me and the hosting company, to repair it.
Right.
To be really
another
careful
thing
with
that. That I suggest for people if they are upgrading plugins, if you're concerned that a plugin is not going to work after you make the upgrade, the easiest thing that you can do is before you upgrade the plugin, simply download a copy of that plugin folder to your computer first. Then make the upgrade, and if something breaks, it goes wrong, it doesn't seem to be working, then you've got a backup copy of the original plugin before you made the upgrade. You can simply re-upload that to your website and put the old plugin back in place.
Okay, good. Yeah, it is. And you do have to be careful. I mean, it looks like magic. It acts like magic. WordPress almost is magic, but it's not perfect. So you really have to due diligence is really what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just, you know, poke away and hit buttons and hope that it's going to work. I've done it. It doesn't work. And I should know better. I'm a web developer, but sometimes you get lulled into a false sense of security. So, you know, be careful with what you do. And if you have questions, there is an enormous amount of information on the Internet about WordPress, or send Ben a note. I mean, Ben's an
mm-hmm.
expert. So, you know, Ben is very accessible. And I'm sure that, you know, you can reach out to him and he'll help you with your questions.
Yeah,
Ben,
you can find me on Facebook if you go to bencope.me. That's bencope.me. That will take you directly to my Facebook profile, and I'll be more than glad to connect with you there and answer any questions that we don't have time to get to today, because I know we've only got about 10 more minutes left.
And we have a lot of people with their hands up. So let's get to some calls. Do you have time to take calls?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I am going to open up I'm just going to go down the line, first in, first serve. So we have somebody from the 203 area code.
Okay.
And somebody from the 702 area code. Are
uh-huh.
y'all on the line? Do you have a question for Ben? Hello? Hi, do you have a question for Ben? Hello? Hi. I'm trying to get you on the call with Ben. Do you have a question for him?
Yeah, this is Christy Chekai.
Hi, Christy. How are you?
Hey, I'm phenomenal.
Good.
I am brand new to WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
I went to WordPress yesterday and just set up the initial WordPress page, and I just put my name and blog up there because I was just, like, space holding because I was playing around.
Mm-hmm.
WordPress.com.
And I did WordPress.com.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have an existing web page, but I don't have enough information. I don't know where it's hosted and all that. What information would I need to gather to connect the two?
The first thing you need to find out is where your existing website is hosted.
Mm-hmm.
Because
go
if
to
you're,
whois.sc.
It's in GoDaddy.
Right. Okay,
yes, and GoDaddy, there you go.
GoDaddy actually provides you with an easy way to install WordPress through the GoDaddy hosting connection. We're actually going to put out a video that walks people exactly how to, that shows people exactly how to do that step by step.
That would be my dream.
And we're gonna post that, make it available so everybody
Ben
can
has
follow
promised,
that.
Right. Ben has promised that to our listeners. How lucky are you guys?
So I'm going to create a video that shows you how to install WordPress on a GoDaddy hosting account,
mm-hmm.
And we'll make that available to you. It's very simple, very easy to do. And it literally takes all of maybe 5 or 10 minutes to get your WordPress site installed and set up.
Okay, and where is the best place for me to access, because you've given us so much information today, but where's the best place for me to access further information as I go in my WordPress journey here?
There are a lot of really great WordPress sites out there, and where to even begin. I've got literally hundreds of bookmarks on Delicious that I'm going to make the link available. I just posted the link in the chat room.
Okay, but I'm not in the chat room. I didn't know how
I'll
to
send it to you, Christy.
Okay, great.
Right. If you go to delicious.com/internetgenius/WordPress, you'll find I've currently got 82 different bookmarks related to WordPress.
You're a good man.
This will occupy literally weeks of your time to go through and search out and find content. Under most of the links, I've got a really quick short description of what the site is about and what you'll find there. One great place to go to find really good, excellent tips about WordPress is WordPressUniversity.com, and you'll find that's a good starting place, good starting point.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay, is there anybody else on the call? Christy, I'm going to go ahead and take you out so I can put somebody else in if you don't mind. Are you through with your question?
I'm good to go. I think that's enough for a starting space.
Okay, you're in the 203 area code, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Christy. I'll email you later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, do we have a caller from the 702 area code? Hello? How about the 905 area code? Do you have any questions for Ben Cope? I can hear people. Maybe they can't hear me. Okay, let's try 917 area code. Okay, this is Denise and Ben Cope. Do you have any questions for Ben Cope?
Hi, Denise. This is Therese. No, I'm just enjoying the call. Thank you so much. The information was very helpful.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. No questions for Ben?
No questions at this time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you're 917, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I'm going to take you off. Thanks, Therese. Bye. Let's try another one. Okay, if we have a caller from the 508 area code, do you have a question for Ben Cope?
Hi, it's Alicia. Yes, I do.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was a little late coming in, so I missed the all-in-one Google part.
Oh, well, you can listen to it later. It'll be available for download in about an hour.
Great, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
And I just had one question. I'm actually looking at setting up a WordPress blog for a client. I'm a VA. And our web host has it already as one of the options that we can choose. Is that any different than doing it someplace else? I'm really new at this.
Okay, if your web host has an option for installing WordPress, in most cases that's all you need to do. If your web host is through HostGator or 1&1 and it has a cPanel, control panel, that's the recommended way to install WordPress. Fastest and easiest way to get it installed. If you're on GoDaddy, then you go through the GoDaddy hosting connection. The steps are a little bit different, but it's still every bit as easy, and that's really all you need.
Great. Thank you.
Now, once you have it installed, they're telling me we have 60 seconds. Once you have it installed, do you know how to install templates, or do you need Ben to help you with that?
I would probably need Ben to help me with that, too.
Ben, can you address that very quickly? It's not simple, but he can at least give you some starting points.
Right. You're asking how to upload a template?
Yeah.
Whenever you install WordPress on a hosting account, it automatically creates and automatically uploads all of the core WordPress files. And one of the default folders that gets created on a new WordPress installation is the wp-content folder. inside of that content folder is a folder called themes. And this is where you would upload any theme that you download for WordPress. It has to go in that wp-content/themes folder. You simply upload the theme folder that you've downloaded into the correct location. You upload it to your web server. And once, if you've uploaded it in the correct place, then when you log into the dashboard and you click the appearance link, the new theme that you uploaded should be available. It should show up in that page of your dashboard. And all you have to do is click that theme, and it will activate it and make it live on your site.
Okay, great.
No, she can't upload that theme directly from the control panel. She has to upload that in her server, yes?
Right. In most cases, okay. Yeah, you have to upload it using an FTP client like FileZilla. Or if your web hosting company has a file management application as a part of the web hosting control panel, you can do it there. But, yes,
they
you do have to manually upload that theme folder to your web server.
Great.
And you can
thank
do
you.
Multiple themes and then just kind of poke around and change them out and see which one suits you the best. So you can actually have a lot of fun with it. But if you have any trouble, you know, contact Ben or shoot me an email and we'll do our best to help you.
Great. Thanks so much, both of you.
You're very welcome. So we have
somebody
had
a question in the chat room about how do you upload a photo into the sidebar.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
So let me address that really quick, and then I think we really have to wrap it up. And if there are any other questions, they can email them to you, and we'll make sure that we get them answered.
Okay.
The easiest way to upload an image into the sidebar of your WordPress site is to put the HTML code into a text widget. Most WordPress themes have a widgetized sidebar, and from the WordPress dashboard, you click on Appearance, and then widgets. So you look for the appearance section in the dashboard and then find the link called widgets. Then you add a text widget by clicking the add link next to the text widget, and then you would put the HTML code for the image inside of that text widget. Now somebody's asking, well, what if I don't know HTML code and how do I put the image in there? Let me share with you a really easy way to generate the HTML code for placing it into a text widget. What you need to do is write a new blog post, just like you're getting ready to publish an article. You click from the WordPress dashboard under the posts section, you click the link that says add new, just as you would do if you were going to write a new article. Then, using the WordPress post editor, you click the link to upload the image that you want to use. Make sure that it's sized correctly before you upload it, though I just want to point that out. Go ahead and resize it before you upload it. Using the post editor in WordPress, upload your image. If you want the image to link somewhere, go ahead and link that image directly in the post editor. Then, at the very top of the post editor, you'll see a link that says HTML. If you click the HTML tab at the top of the post editor after you've uploaded and inserted the image into the post, it will actually display the HTML content that you've just created. All you have to do is highlight that HTML code, press Control-C on your computer to copy that HTML code into the clipboard, then go back to your widget area in the dashboard by clicking Appearance and then Widgets. As soon as you do that, it's going to say, wait, before you leave this page, you're going to lose any changes if you don't publish. You can click OK, because all you've done is used the post editor to generate the HTML code for you, and you've copied it into the clipboard. So then when you go back into the sidebar widget area, you've got that HTML code already pasted into the clipboard. You just paste it into the text widget. You save changes, and that's the fastest and easiest way to insert images into the sidebar.
Great.
I hope that made sense. I know it's kind of hard to visualize without being able to see it on screen what I'm talking about, but hopefully that made sense.
And you can always come back and listen to this and write everything down.
Yep.
So, you know, or if we get it transcribed, which I'm not sure we will, it may be available, but just come back and listen to this particular part of the show and just play with it until you get there. So I think we need to wrap this up. Ben and I both have
yep.
wampum schedules today. Are there any last-minute questions? All right. Well, thank you all so much for being here. And, Ben, thank you. I really appreciate your expertise. I know our listeners do. And these calls get downloaded a lot. So this is going to help a lot of people, you know, with their WordPress questions, and I really appreciate it. Tell people again where to go to find you.
You can find me on Facebook by going to Ben, B-E-N, Cope, C-O-P-E, .me. That will take you straight to my Facebook profile. There you'll find links to all of the other websites that I have, including my WordPress training site, WordPressUniversity.com, as well as you know, some of the other products and things that I have. So,
okay, BenCope.me. To the lady who is talking about installing a WordPress blog for a client, if you're looking for some really excellent templates, Ben also has a template site. So, Ben,
right.
if you'll share that.
Yeah, the template site is WP Dream Theme. DREAMTHEME, and WP just stands for WordPress. So WP Dream Theme will take you straight to the page where you can check out my WordPress Dream Theme and everything that it includes.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. I mean, these calls are just so important to people who really need to be on the Internet, and WordPress, in my opinion, is the way to go. And you're the best person to teach it, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Oh, well, you give so much valuable information, and yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing the video that you're going to do, you know, about what we're talking about, because there's a lot of people who really can find that just invaluable. So
yep.
as soon as that is ready, I will post it here on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Ben will post it on his blog. We'll put it on Facebook. It will be all over the place. We
okay.
want to get it in the hands of as many people as we can. So thank you, everybody, for being here. There were some great questions in the chat room, and actually speaking with Ben, I appreciate y'all time. The show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe a little bit earlier. And I look forward to seeing you on our next call next Friday, same time, same place. This is Denise Griffiths and Ben Cope wishing you a wonderful weekend. Thank you, everybody.